and then the bag mysteriously just disappeared. Like, brand new receipt in the bag, tied up at the house, it's gone. With my Cubs hat, wherever that is. So if you find a bag from Office Depot that has a yearly planner in it, let me know, okay? It probably has a hat in it as well. Then we went to youth camp, which was great, but that's different, right? I mean, I've roomed with boys that peed on the seat, you know, that kind of thing. So that was different, not bad. VBS was this last week. My air conditioner went out Wednesday. My dad and I fixed it. My air conditioner went out again yesterday. All of this, before we left for camp, the plumbing in my bathroom went out. Yes, I know a plumber, but I was waiting till I got back to see if I could do it. Well, I had to pay for air conditioning stuff, so I got to wait to pay the plumber. So all my life has just been crazy. Oh, one day this week, I woke up, and I didn't grab breakfast at the house, and I said, Dave Ramsey was in my pocket. I don't have my envelopes, but I had money, so I was going to go through and get some breakfast at Burger King. Well, there was three or four people at Burger King, and I stayed in line for 5 minutes, and nobody moved. No, they didn't do anybody. They didn't take my order, so I said, well, I'm going to McDonald's. I go to McDonald's, and then they got this new thing at the one at Well Road. They got two lines, you know. It goes from one to two and then back to one kind of thing. And, well, I was in one, and they took three people's order over there in that line before they never even talked to me. And so I said, forget it. I'm going to come and eat breakfast at the gas station right here. They have biscuits. Well, I got here at 10 minutes after 8, and they were sold out. So I had an oatmeal cream pie in the back of the church. I don't know whose they were, but I had it. That was my week, okay? Well, in VBS, I couldn't get videos. Like, we played videos three different ways for VBS. I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy, crazy week. And, I mean, as I was preparing for this morning, all I could think about was, man, hindsight's 20/20. Because I really could have, if I'd have known all of this stuff, if I'd have known so what was going to happen, I could have called Mitchell 2 months ago and had him paid and out of the way. And then instead of me and my dad fixing the AC, I probably just could have called the AC guy and just let them just do everything all at once. I could have made sure that my Cubs hat was put on my hat rack in my closet, so I would not have lost it and been distraught over this. Or I could have gone into Ashlyn's room myself and climbed under the bed and seen if it was there. But hindsight's 20/20. And this morning, we start a story in Scripture that in many ways is just an amazing story, right? I mean, we tell our kids about Noah and the Ark. In fact, people put it on their nursery room walls, and we see all, you know, pictures of all the animals coming into the ark. We love the story, and it's easy to tell. But let me tell you, being on this side of the cross has made teaching this morning way easier. If hindsight's 20/20, looking back to Noah through the cross is way easier, because if we were on Noah's side of the cross and had to learn from what happened in Scripture at this point, it would be terrifying. It would be completely and utterly, you would not like it, okay? Sinners in the hands of an angry God would have nothing on the Scripture, on the teaching time, if we were on the other side of the cross when we looked at this particular passage. Let's read, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Mitchell, last week, very aptly talked about Noah's righteousness and his blameless and where that came from. So if you missed it last week, go back. It's on the website. Go back and listen to it. But we're going to start in verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. You shall make it make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark on the inside of it. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which the breath of life from under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your sons' wives. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind and the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing on the ground of its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. God, this morning, as we look at your word and as we look at this passage in light of what you've done for us, God, may you just open it up, and may you get honor and glory from what you did so many thousands of years ago in Noah, and may it be proclaimed today that your son Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so when we started North Hills, one of the major things that we wanted to do was expository preaching. That was something that we set out to be and to do. So when we stood up here, whoever it was, if it was John or Ryan or if it was anybody filling this pulpit, that we decided that the absolute best thing for North Hills and for, we believe, any Christian is to, when they hear the word of God proclaimed, that the point of this is the point of our message. That's the way John puts it. That it, whatever this, the point of this is, it should be the point of our message on Sunday mornings. And well, the point of this morning, is, I believe, is boiled down to two words. And the first one is corrupt. And if you're taking notes, go ahead and write it down. Just corruption. Corruption. That word in Hebrew, it's pretty cool. It means incurable evil or incurable decay, vile, reprehensive. So write incurable out beside it and underline it. Corruption is incurable. The picture we get when we look at what God is planning to do here is, for hundreds of years, from the time of Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve were the first created, and it's been hundreds of years. In fact, Noah is 500 years old at this particular moment. We see that over at the end of chapter 5. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He had kids at 500 years old. Three of them. What? Look, that's five with two zeros after it. Not just one. That's two zeros after it. He had kids. Three of them. Crazy. But even before that, I mean, we had seen 10 generations from Adam to Noah. There was hundreds of years that man had been populating the earth, and we see some really cool things that man had done, and they had started working with bronze and iron, and technology was really growing on the earth at this time. It was really a cool time to be around, because there was a lot of cool things happening on the earth. But as man progressed, they continually took their eyes off of the one that created them. And we get to chapter 6, and God has had enough. He has seen the corruption, the incurable evil in man. He has seen what man's heart has. He has restrained himself from the time of Adam until the time of Noah. And we see that the corruption on earth is not just little white lies. Because, let's face it, when you and I think about what we've sinned against God, when you and I believe, when we talk about how we have sinned against God, we think about, well, I didn't love my children the way they should be loved today. I probably didn't love them the way they should be loved today. But the picture we get in Scripture is that it is in total opposition to God. That is in you and me. See, if you and I were on the other side of the cross and we heard this passage, that we heard that God saw us as corrupt, saw all of man as wicked, evil, incurable decay was within us. The little white lies become a complete offense to a living, holy God. The little things in our life are not just little things. They're not just itsy-bitsy. They're putting incurable evil. I keep going back to it because they have decayed the relationship between us and God. And it is not something that God takes lightly. In fact, we see in chapter 6 that God wants to destroy all flesh, animals, mankind. I've told Ryan that I wasn't going to get into what happens in the flood, because Ryan's going to teach next week, and he's going to get to do the flood stuff. But let me tell you, what God was about to do changed the face of the earth. It didn't just wipe a few human beings off the earth. It didn't just, kill some animals. It completely, utterly rearranged our world. It 100% made the earth look different. It made mountains come up. It made water where there was no water. It was a completely rearranging of the world. God did something. If you wrote down that word, corruption, and if you wrote down incurable with an underline on it, go on and before corruption, write our corruption. Because this is the point. If you and I lived at the time of Noah, it would have been our corruption that God was angry at, that God was showing his wrath towards. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We sometimes say that so flippantly. We say that so quickly. We say, oh, I sinned, and move on. We fail to realize what sin is. We fail sometimes to realize that what it has taken for God in his grace to forgive. It is complete and utter offense. It is complete and utter turning our back on the God that created us. Our corruption, our lives. All right, youths. There's two of you in here. Three, Or I don't know. Y'all bring a copy. Y'all got a word? Y'all got a word? You got a word? Okay, we got two words. We got three. We got three words. All right. I want to help you. One of the things that I get asked through my years is, you know, how do you study the Bible? How do you go about, how do you read that and know what God's trying to do here? What's going on in Scripture? How do you read it? And well, the number one thing is you need to take Scripture as a whole, right? I mean, you need to not just pick out a verse and say, you know, God, Noah was righteous and blameless in his time. Oh, well, I guess I can be blameless and righteous. Well, that's not the point there. So we need to read Scripture as a whole. And one of the tools that you can use is built into many Bibles. If you have a reference Bible, some of you do, some of you don't. Many of the newer Bibles do not have a center column reference or references at the bottom because they want to save space on their Bibles, so they don't do it. But I want you to, if you have a reference Bible, look at verse 17. We've seen the corruption in the world, and that's what God has called out. He's called out corruption. And then he gives Noah, he says, I'm going to save you, and I want you to build this ark. And he gives the dimensions of this ark. And we saw that video of how big that ark was. It was really large. And in fact, almost 100,000 square feet of floor space would have been on that ark. It was a massive boat with the three decks and all the rooms. It was a massive boat. But verse 17 says, behold, I am bringing the floodwaters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. If you look at the references in verse 17 and 18, one of them is 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:5. And if you turn over to 2 Peter 2:5, it starts, and did not despair. So we're in the middle of a sentence, so let's go back up to verse 4 and read it all. Starting in verse 4 of 2 Peter 2. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of the darkness, reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who lived ungodly lives there, and if he rescued righteous Lot, opposed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous unpunished for the day of judgment. We see a coming back to Noah. And if we do this again, if we look at verse 5 in the references, it says go back to 1 Peter 3:20. Well, just turn back a page. And here is the point of, I told you there were two words that we were going to talk about this morning. One of them was corruption. The other one we read just a second ago in verse 18 is covenant. Starting in verse 17 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. We see a covenant that God made with Noah in chapter 6 of Genesis, and we see over in the New Testament on this side of the cross what that meant. We see that as God saved Noah through the ark, that he was saving him as out of his faith, because the last verse of chapter 6 said, what did it say? Noah went and did. So we went through this whole thing, right? Go and get some gopher wood, make it this, make it that, you know, and then I'm going to make a covenant. Noah said, okay, done. We have one sentence of what Noah did. It went from instructions, one sentence, Noah did it, and then next sentence, he's getting holed up in an ark. Okay? It is Noah's faith in God that he would save him. And today, you and I had the same response. God, through his son, Jesus Christ, has saved us. It is Jesus Christ that has come and made a way for us. Just as God made a way on the ark for Noah, he has made a way for Jesus. You see, God, from Adam came. And, well, he didn't work out. He sinned, right? He done. But because of that, all of us have this sin nature. We get to Noah, and the whole world is corrupt. All right, we're going to start over. Right? I mean, that's right. We see Noah is righteous and blameless, right? I mean, so let's get a righteous and blameless man and just start the world over. Well, it won't take you very many more pages in Scripture to find out that Noah wasn't all that. I mean, the dude got naked. So, yes, I said that. Hello. Noah was never meant to save the world. Salvation didn't come through Noah. He wasn't meant to be the one who changed the world. His righteousness had nothing. It was all God. As of today, we are saved by faith because of Jesus. It is his work on the cross that you and I are even able to stand before God in our corruption. Because we mentioned that the corruption in which we have is incurable. We can't say or do enough. And I know that specifically at North Hills, we say that a lot. We talk all the time about, you know, you can't earn your salvation, but too many times it just we practically live that out. When people lose things, or the plumbing and the AC go out in your house, it's just, well, I should have done better. When I'm not a loving father or a loving husband, well, that's on me. I just need to do better. God, probably the reason why my plumbing went out was because I wasn't good enough. truth is, I'm never going to be good enough. I have incurable corruption apart from Jesus Christ. I'm never going to be enough. You and I will never be enough. It is our corruption that is incurable. Many times we read this story and we read it to our children, and which we should, and we skip over to the animal part, right? I mean, we like to talk about the animals getting on the boat and Noah and his family getting holed up in there for a long time, and you know, God saved them, yay. But the truth is, you and I stand at opposition with God in our sin. And just like it said over in 1 Peter, there is a need for us to come to Jesus. The first aspect of the gospel, when we share the gospel, when we teach the gospel, is realizing our sin. Realizing what we have done against a holy God. Started with Adam, and it has gone and progressed through Noah all the way to today. Covenant. God, we started a covenant with Adam, and He made a covenant with Noah, and He will with Abraham. And all of those were tied to the same thing. They were tied to their faith. That God would save them. And ultimately through Scripture, we see that God came and made a perfect way. There was no man. Adam didn't do it. Noah wouldn't do it. Moses, Abraham, any of the Israelites wouldn't do it. None of the prophets in the Old Testament, none of them lived to the measure of what God needed. And the only way He could do that was Himself. The only one that lives to that measure is Himself. And Jesus came, God, in flesh, 100% man, 100% God. And He lived a life that no man could ever live, so that you and I would have a way to God. That is what we see in Scripture, in Noah's the account. We see that God, even from the very beginning, was pointing to Christ. That even in the very beginning, He had a plan for salvation. That even in the beginning, He knew that no man would be able to live up to what God, to God's standard of righteousness. And He called Noah out to be saved, and today God continually draws people to Himself through Christ, through the cross. And that is the message for today, that you and I can stand on this side of the cross and look back and realize what God has done, and rejoice in the fact that He has made salvation for us. We don't have to worry about if we've killed enough animals or if we've done enough. We don't have to worry about if we came into this building clean enough. We don't have to worry about if we did enough righteous throughout the week. Christ put it all on the cross. This morning, it's a simple message. Our corruption and God's covenant. That's the point of the text. And for those that have believed, for those that have placed their trust in Jesus, it is a day of rejoicing. It is. It's a day that we can be happy. It's a day that we can look and praise God for all that He has done in spite of our incurable evil. In spite of our sin against Him, He has saved us. For those that have not turned to Christ, it is a day that we can realize, that you can realize, that there is a need for a Savior. That there is a Savior available, and He is God. Because no man, no work that can be done will ever save us. Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. He paid everything that needed to be paid. And today, thousands of years after Noah, you can rest assured that God is still in the business of saving people. And that is the call this morning. Let's pray to that end. God, this morning, there's a lot of things going on in a lot of people's lives. I know it. God, I just pray that as we look at Your Word, that we don't quickly glaze over, that we don't quickly skip past some familiar parts, and we can rest in what You've done throughout history. This morning, I can stand and I can praise You. I can get on my knees and thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, because I don't deserve Your salvation. I pray for people that are listening that have been here and heard Your redemptive story, that if they have never been drawn to You, if they've never turned to You for salvation, that You will this morning begin to turn their hearts to You, God. That You will reach down and You will save them today. God, as we respond, as we bring offerings, as we sing, as maybe some turn their hearts to You, God, we just ask that as we leave this place, that You will go before us, and that You will show us how we should walk, that You will change Calhoun, that You will change North Louisiana, that You will change our country and ultimately our world by Your power in a way that people know that it is You. And I pray that You use us in any way possible in that, Father. God, this morning, You just take this time and You do with it what You will. It's in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. If you need to talk to anybody, grab a friend, grab anybody. You've heard what Jesus Christ desires. And there are definitely questions that could be answered. So if you need to ask any questions, please grab somebody.